I'd ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew, chapter 2. Let's stand, and we're going to read just a couple of these verses over again. Matthew, chapter 2. I'm going to begin in verse number 1. Matthew, chapter 2, verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Father, we thank you for giving to us these events that revolve around your coming to this earth and being born in Bethlehem. And Father, now as we consider just a few simple thoughts from this so familiar historical account, we ask your Holy Spirit would help us and bless us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, we all, I believe, understand that as far as the wise men are concerned, we're not certain on the number of them. The songs have given us three, but the Word of God nowhere tells us whether there were three or whether there were four or five or more. Another thing we usually don't consider, especially when we see all the depictions, you've seen by now a Christmas card that has the wise men riding their camels, and you see a star in the background, you see the three wise men. But to bear the gifts that they bore and the value of them, there is no way these men would have traveled alone. They probably would have had some that would travel with them for protection, perhaps guard. But we do know the day came when they arrived in Jerusalem. We may wonder why Jerusalem, because the baby was born in Bethlehem. Well, they came where any of us would have gone if we were in their shoes, simply because they were coming to see the king. It's interesting they didn't come to see the prince. They didn't say, "Where is he that is born prince?" They came asking, "Where is he that is born king?" This, of course, is a great, great problem for King Herod, the self-proclaimed king over Israel, because he knew enough. He was not a Jew. He was Idumean, one of the descendants of Esau. He understood many of the prophecies, and he understood the prophecy that there would come one born that would be the Messiah. The Messiah being God in the flesh, as we heard read for us, Emmanuel, God with us. But as they came to Jerusalem seeking this king, Jerusalem being a larger city, they wouldn't necessarily know where to go. And so they began asking around as they traveled through the city. You would think that if a new king would be born, especially one of the magnitude of this king, they would understand, at least to some degree, that this king would be God in the flesh. That in their minds they're thinking everybody certainly would know what has taken place. Everyone that we ask, or anyone that we ask, would be able to direct us to this newborn king, because certainly this is news that would have electrified the city with excitement and anticipation. I believe they understood that this king of the Jews would eventually become king of the world and rule all men. And that's why they, in their position as dignitaries from the east, came to proclaim to this king at his birth that we bow in humble submission. And when you rule the world, we will be your vassals. And so in their minds are thinking, everybody certainly knows where this king is, as great of a king as he is. Though he be a baby, everyone in this city will know. But much to their surprise, as they asked from person to person, they found shrugs. They found heads being scratched. People just miffed by the whole idea, king of the Jews, a baby king. We heard nothing of this. We know nothing of this. Why is that? The wise men must have wondered. Finally, they met up with Herod. Herod, of course, consults the priests and the scribes. That's later on in the passage. We didn't read it just now, but it was read earlier. They know exactly where the baby would be born. They knew exactly where Messiah was to be birthed, in the city of Bethlehem, the city of David. They understood these prophecies. And so Herod sends the wise men, as the historical account is related to us here in this passage of Scripture. The wise men head down to Bethlehem and are not disappointed. They find the baby, not a baby anymore, but what we would call a toddler. The Bible calls him the child. And they fell down and worshiped him. This is in verse number 11. Opened their treasures, presented him the gifts. We all could probably name the three gifts: the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Significant in each of their choices for what Jesus would need at that time. But I want to back up to Jerusalem and the city. The city that should have been abuzz. The city that should have been just filled with Jews of the day that were excited, having seen the star that these same wise men saw, and they were so far away, able to see it, from the prophecy of Balaam, and we won't cover that, but had been passed down through the sacred scriptures. We have it for us today, that these wise men were familiar with and that the Jews should have been familiar with. And certainly the scribes and the priests should have known. In fact, they probably did. And so the city should have been filled with Jews, just excited and abuzz. The new king, the Messiah, the one who would deliver us, the one who would cast off the Roman shackles and rule over the world in righteousness with a rod of iron, has come. And yet that's not the scene at all, is it? The people have no clue. And instead of excitement, instead of anticipation, they experience fear. They experience fear. That's what we find in verse 3. It says, all Jerusalem was troubled with Herod. You would think the priests themselves would be excited and the scribes. Our prophecies are fulfilled exactly as they were written. Certainly, this king who has come, we'll go and we'll worship him instead of these sacrificial animals that were slaughtering every day and worshiping according to the Old Testament. Now they're fulfilled in this Messiah that has come. You know, we find none of this taking place, do we? We find a city that's busy in their worldly business. Lies that are just going on as usual. We see a lack of interest on the behalf of the scribes and the priests. As we read the history here, we are only told of these wise men traveling from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem. You would have thought at the very least, the priests would have sent at least one to represent them to see if such things were so. But they had so little interest in these events that they didn't apparently even send one to go down. Herod just slaughtered all the babies 2 years and under because he did not know where that baby was. And so that tells us that none of the priests went down to report back to Herod. It's in this house over here. I can tell you exactly and lead your soldiers, and we've only got to slaughter the one. Complete disregard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they were busy in their lives and busy in their families and busy in their careers and busy in their religions. Everything seemed to crowd Jesus off into the realm of insignificance. That's the city these wise men traveled into. I think by now the application is pretty obvious, isn't it? As we come to the Christmas season, if the wise men were to come to Sterling Heights or Macomb County and today and ask, where can we find news of the Messiah? How many people would scratch their heads and shrug their shoulders and say, we don't know. We don't even know what you're talking about. And so he'd go to church after church, the wise men would, and inquire, how can we find the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ? And church after church would give back an answer. Maybe they would say, well, we just don't believe he ever really existed. Or we believe he was a good man, but now he's dead, and we just worship a religion. Maybe they would go to one that would say, well, we'll tell you how you find him. You just do all these liturgical works and repeat after me and offer this and offer that. And if you're lucky and play your cards right, you can have a relationship with him. How long would they have to spend in our community before they found the right answer, the biblical answer? That yes, Jesus is God. And yes, he was born of a virgin after the miraculous conception. And yes, he did live a sinless life for over 30 years. And yes, he did go to the cross of Calvary after being betrayed and put to a mockery of a trial. And yes, he did raise on that third day. And yes, he did walk for 40 days with the disciples and the other believers. And yes, he did ascend into heaven in their sight. And yes, he is coming back again someday. How long would it take them before they found someone who could give them an answer? You see, I believe today our cities and our communities are no different than what Jerusalem was back in that day because of indifference, because of busyness, because we're so concerned about everything else going on around us, the latest sales. I mean, I won't ask for a raise of hands, but how many went out on Black Friday to get a sale price? We're so concerned about that. How many people were online on, what do they call the Monday? Cyber Monday. Looking for a deal. Is that what Christmas has become to me and to you? What is Christmas to you? Is it the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in response to God so loving the world that he gave? Or is it, what's in that package for me? Boy, if you were a kid, wouldn't you love something like that? Because you got to figure the bigger the present, the better the present. That's what me and my brothers always thought. You know, we would spend hours around the tree before Christmas Day to find out who got the biggest present. Because that's the one mom and dad loved the most. We just knew it. Is that what Christmas is? What am I going to get? If we take it even a step better, maybe Christmas is, what will I give? Because we all love somebody, and we give them, in response to that love, we give them something in celebration of Christmas. What is Christmas to you? Is it really the coming of our Savior? I hope you know him as your Savior today. If you don't, there's no reason for you not to. He loves you. He died for you, for your sins. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. And simply, as the word of God puts it, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The best gift that could possibly be given. Don't make the mistake the city of Jerusalem did and the scribes and priests did. Jesus came. Therefore, we celebrate. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. Help us not to let this world crowd out the meaning of the day that we celebrate your coming. We don't know if this is the exact calendar date that you came, but it really doesn't matter. Just simply that we set aside a day to remember what you gave that day that we might be saved and have a relationship with you for all eternity. So Lord, just now may we make that decision that this year I'll focus on my Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.